Welcome to the week two edition of Zooch and Wild. Wait, that's not Zooch.
That is not.
That's not Zooch.
No.
That's not Zooch. That is Sean. That is Sean. No, we are excited. This is Friday before week two of the 2024 mm-hmm. college football season. And wow, we are excited. Sean and I are especially excited because we are going to have Zooch and Wild settle down, boots on the ground in Eugene, mm-hmm. Oregon on Saturday, Sean. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a very, very fun time.
I'm really excited because, I mean, I feel like, as you guys are listening to this on Friday, we're me and Cody and Riley are in the car driving to Eugene, Oregon at the moment. So we are very excited. Also, just to see all the boys again, to kind of like hang out at a football game. I feel like it's been a little over a year now since we've all kind of, probably longer than that, since we've all been at a game together. So it'll be a lot of fun, but I don't know about you, but I'm pretty nervous for this game.
Yeah,
on multiple levels. We'll talk
about it. So we'll talk more about it because that is not only we can finally, for the first time in like 2 years, talk about a Boise State game in a non-homer way. That's like an actual like national media attention game, which has been great. But week one excitement, Sean, it really had it all. I don't know about you, but I did the classic iced coffee in the morning and I watched college football from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Yep. My shoulders hurt so bad when I got up from that couch. And I know for non-college football fans, I think NFL fans know the feeling themselves because of the full day of football watching, just what that constitutes. I don't know how to explain to people that don't watch college football or football that like sitting on a couch takes a toll on your body. And I know what I just said is like the biggest loser statement, but I know you and a lot of our listeners, whoever might be watching this clip, people can resonate with that. Like it truly is. It takes a lot of effort to watch, to sit on your ass and watch college football all day. I know Barstool Big Cat is a big proponent of that. It's like, it's a talent being able to watch this. And again, I know I just sound like the biggest dork loser lazy bones in the world.
The same time. Hey, I mean, we get to, what's beautiful about college football is that we get to do that. Just sit on the couch. I enjoyed a nice Black Rock coffee as well. Walked over there in the morning. Boise State had a 2 p.m. game. So me and Cody walked over to walked over to End Zone. End Zone was packed. We couldn't get a drink. So we walked over to Suds and watched the game there. But we had I was so pissed about this. ESPN fumbled the bag.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, before we talk about any of the games.
Yeah.
Sean, I know me and ESPN, you were texting back and forth. We were watching bocce ball highlights. And this won't pick up a lot of traction because, yes, it was Boise State, Georgia Southern. Yes, it was on ESPNU. But still. Imagine all of that excitement building up 9 months, and then you just miss probably 6 minutes or 5 minutes of gameplay. Yeah. Like the first, we missed a 77-yard Ashton Jeanty touchdown run. Sean, is this a good transition into who were the biggest winners, in your opinion, of week one?
Yeah.
Players, one, coaches.
Yeah. The first person I wrote down was Ashton Jeanty. Bit of a homer pick there. Obviously, it was the main game I watched on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And watching him, I feel like we've had our eye on him the past two seasons, really. Like, you know, we know he's a great running back. And I think the whole nation now realized who the hell he is. Getting six touchdowns is no feat. And even if some of those touchdowns were close within the 5 yard line, I mean, he still got them down the field.
The yardage speaks for itself, and the crazy thing was for me, the yards per carry. It was over 5 yards per carry. I don't know the exact number, but it wasn't just we're gonna hand him the ball 40 times and he's gonna rack up those numbers. It's like he was being efficient, so efficient in fact that his backup had 100 yards. So I mean, breaking a school record that has been there since Cedric Minter, which I want to say is 80s or 70s. I know some smark is going to correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. Yeah. Please do. But it stood for a while. And Ashton Jeanty, it's ridiculous how much, and this is why I love the 12-team playoff. Because if there's no 12-team playoff, I don't think the country's talking about this.
No.
I really don't. I think because of the 12-team playoff, people realize, oh my gosh, this guy could carry a team that we could watch play our big schools later on in the playoff. That's why you're seeing him on. The ESPN draft, the week one projections, he's predicted a first rounder by some people, which is crazy because he's the same player he was last year. But
yeah, that is true.
Another winner is another guy that I know me and you have known about for a long time because he is the quarterback of what would you say your second favorite team is?
And that he was on my list too. Yep.
And he is, at least for my single player, he is easily the biggest winner player-wise out of any of the quarterbacks. I know some people would say, Riley Leonard at Notre Dame. I'll talk about them later. Riley Leonard at Notre Dame had a really good game. Oh, Miller Moss. It's Nico in that offense with Josh Heupel looks so efficient. Mm-hmm. It looked, and I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but it looked like how Hendon Hooker ran the offense. Mm-hmm. And Hendon Hooker is doing that as a six-year senior. And Nico's only a true freshman. Sophomore. Yeah, redshirt freshman. So true sophomore, redshirt freshman. And he had something like three touchdown passes, and he sat out the second half or the majority of the second half. So Nico, big player winner. But, you know, I mentioned Riley Leonard. Sean, did you, you know, shout out Susan and Sandy, all the Texas A&M people. I got some Texas A&M people at my church in Livermore. But before we talk about them, my biggest team winner was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah. No, they definitely – I thought that game was really good. It was – I didn't pay attention too much to it because it was post-watching Boise State, which is tough. This is kind of a side note here, but when I watch – I've noticed when Boise State – if Boise State plays on Friday or if we have a bye week, I can pay attention to college football way more. But when Boise State plays, I'm very, locked in, and I kind of watch highlights afterwards and, I don't know, I pay attention to it a lot, but I want to go back on Nico really quick because I noticed that he just looked, I think we talked about this in the chat. I just feel like he looked like what Moonball Milton could have been, but he actually has an accurate ball.
He's got a sling. He was doing it in high school. Shout out Long Beach. Warren High was following him back when they were posted on the Max Preps highlights. He is the arm talent there. And Tom Fornelli actually has called him what he thinks is the best quarterback in the country. And that was before a snap of football was played. He thinks that Nico Yamileva, I really hope I'm pronouncing that right too. But maybe it can be a DJU situation where you just call him Nico I.
Nico I, yeah. Where's Nico?
Nico. Yeah, yeah. Nico. Yeah,
so hopefully he doesn't turn out like DJU, which we'll talk about later.
Just wait. Like I said, I keep saying just wait. I know college football is awesome, pessimistic. Just wait, and then we'll fire into pessimism.
Yeah. My team that I had winning, I thought that did really well was Miami. To go into Florida and do that is just, you know, and you could argue maybe it's Florida sucking, but.
Sunbelt Billy. Gotta love Sunbelt Billy. Mm-hmm. Who? As of the day of this recording, we're recording Wednesday to be released today, which all you guys are listening to on Friday. Billy Napier's now starting DJ Lagway, DJ Langway, true freshman quarterback. Graham Mertz has a concussion. Look, I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. That might be like a hey, yeah, you got a concussion, right? You got a concussion, right, Graham? And it's. Yeah, Sunbelt Billy's job rests on this gosh darn true freshman, but I don't know if much is going to help. But Cam Ward can look like that, because I mean, we've watched him at Wazoo. West Coast people have watched him. FCS people watched him at Incarnate Word or Incarnate World. Or is it Incarnate Word?
I think it's Incarnate. I don't know.
Incarnate W. Man, we just outed ourselves as non-FCS ball knowledge. I watch the Big Sky, okay, everyone? I'm not watching FCS ball in Texas. I'm only watching UC Davis. Shout out my guy, Tim Plow. But But Cam Ward, he looked like the guy who led Washington State to the victory over Oregon State at the beginning of last year. And consistency, consistency, consistency. is what I have for Miami this season. Miami needs a poster in front of everything they do, just as consistency. Cam Ward needs to be consistent. Mario Cristobal needs to be consistent. The program of Miami needs to be consistent. How many times has Miami jumped out to a fast start just to have four losses at the end of the year? That's the thing.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I think they played well. I mean, playing in the Swamp is no walk in the park by any means. But another team I'm going to touch on is the Vandals, Idaho Vandals. I don't know if we've ever really talked, or if you guys ever really talked about them besides maybe Jason Eck, but
we talk Jason Eck. We are a very pro Jason Eck podcast here.
So is the internet now. They saw his fiery
like
passion.
I'm a history. The internet was loving his he almost had like a thesaurus, like a Merriam-Webster dictionary of a playbook, and just dialing everything up. But you have Idaho as your winners, even though they lost.
Lost. But you know, like to play a team like Oregon and did what they did, you know, I think U of I are FCS brothers in the state. I want to see them jump to FBS. I think it'd be fun for us too to kind
of
have
a lot of rival. Like
we lost BYU, really. We don't play them anymore. So
it's tough too. It's tough. I think there's a lot of schools like that in the Pacific Northwest, and it's tough because it's one of those schools where their football, I think it comes down to not football, like the team and the actual product can be a Mountain West school. When you look at other things, you know, their other sports, facilities, travel, especially.
Yeah.
Imagine if you are San Diego State or Fresno State, you got to fly up there. Like you're probably flying into Spokane and driving, or I hope maybe there's a private airport up there that you can fly into. And it's tough. It's really, really tough. But no, I would love to see Idaho, and they did look good. Oregon, like I said, we'll touch on Oregon. When we talk about Boise State, Oregon, we're still on a tease, but my last winner, just so all you sickos and pervs can get to the losers, cause you just want to hear hate spew. Yeah. But my last team winner is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, getting that first win off the schedule. That's going to be their hardest game till they play USC. Could be one of only one or two ranked teams they play all year. Mm-hmm. And what I saw out of Marcus Freeman was that's a game that I think 2 years ago he loses.
Yeah.
Him in that game shows a sign of maturity. Riley Leonard, he didn't look great. I still think he's okay. Riley Leonard is a quarterback that I think can get you to the playoffs. But with that run game and that defense, that probably is going to have six or seven guys drafted off of it next year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that defense, that run game, if Riley Leonard can play 8 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10, that's a 9 seed, 8 seed, 7 seed easily. Because now with that A&M win, Sean, they can lose to USC, probably still get in. And who knows? Maybe USC will blow it. USC, sorry, USC fans, not quite a winner. Sorry, you just missed a cut, but I will give you the shout out. Shout out USC, great win over someone who I'll be talking about very soon. But Sean, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, what do you got to say?
So my mother went to USC. So I grew up watching the Trojans. I still have a place in my heart for them. So it's hard to really talk too much good about Notre Dame. I was raised to just not like them, but I think Marcus Freeman is doing a great job at what he's doing. And I think we're going to see him in the playoff. No doubt. I mean, obviously it's kind of tough for them with no conference that they're in to like solidify a bid, but I think we're going to see them in there for a lot of years, like many years.
It's tough and easy in the way. It's really hard for them to get a high seed. Let's be honest. It's going to be really, really hard to get a high seed because that's going to be reserved A for the conference championship winners. B, 5, 6, 7 might be for like the conference championship runner-ups who are the, you know, Ohio State or Tennessee or Alabama or Georgia on the year that they lose that. That'll be the what that's reserved for. There's a path now, like you said, for Notre Dame to be in that 9, 10, 11 seed for a while. All they have to do is win the big games. If they're a two-loss team every year during Marcus Freeman's tenure, they have a 50-50 shot. If they're a one-loss team, I would say they're a 95% lock of getting into the playoffs, a one-loss Notre Dame. That is going to be the thing that's going to be interesting, and that's why I love the playoffs, Sean. That's why people complain. It's like, oh, the games aren't going to matter. Yeah, maybe you don't have those, you know, I'll just come out and spoil it. Florida State losing these two games. Super funny, by the way. But by the way, Sean, before – actually, I'm going to finish this next topic because the guy who was forced to eat – you know who you are, the guy on the internet who said you're going to eat dog poop out of a cup and never did. So
he deleted his Twitter too, which is crazy.
Yeah, so I think Notre Dame was one of my big winners. But let's talk losers now, Sean. Sean, there was a lot of losers in week one.
There really
were. A lot of losers. And everyone who loses thinks they're a loser in college football in week one. A lot of overreaction. It is the most overreactive sport in the world, in my opinion. The most overreactive sport in terms of players, coaches, teams, wins, plays, especially with guys getting paid now. People want expectations and results sooner. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest losers has to be Florida State, more specifically DJU. More specifically, the guy who said if they lost to Boston College, he would eat poop out of a solo cup.
Honestly, like Florida State after – I mean, last year they beat LSU week one, no? Right?
Yeah, That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they come off a pretty decent season. What did they finish with last year? Do you remember?
Undefeated. They were undefeated. They just lost some key players at the end. They won the ACC.
See, stuff like that where I forgot about that. Oh my God. Yeah.
Just because they didn't make the playoffs. So like, it sucks that like that year is almost forgotten because they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Holy crap. Yeah. And now they're 0-2. And I saw a graphic someone posted. It was like Florida State is officially eliminated from the college football playoff. I don't know if there's any way they can come back. Is there any way?
There's no way. Yeah. No. No, I mean, the only way they can come back is they have to win the ACC because even if they're a runner-up, they would be a two-loss runner-up that has two really bad losses. And actually, Sean, it's going to be hard for them to even make the ACC championship game. They just lost two ACC games. They're 0-2 in conference. That is true. Yeah. So they no longer even really control their own destiny in conference. And DJU, you know, it's – in years past, I would have been like, I feel for this guy, man. This guy busts his ass. He's a last year college football man. You just want to see him succeed, especially someone who was anointed as one of the best. He was ranked ahead of CJ Stroud, just under Bryce Young, both NFL quarterbacks right now in high school rankings. But honestly, it's a part of the reason. I think it's a double-edged sword, a shadow of the transfer portal and NIL is DJU. Moved around, then he moved around again. I see him in commercials online. He's driving a nice car. Is it tough to say I don't feel bad one bit for him? I really don't.
Yeah.
And he's a six-year senior. I mean, I feel bad about, like, look, if people are making really bad hate comments, I feel bad for. But I don't feel bad about him not playing. Get a job.
True.
Needs to hit the portal. Him and Cam Rising, JP Morgan, transfer portal to JP Morgan. They got a great NIL deal, aka just a signing bonus. Honestly, JP Morgan University.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, I think he needs to. DJU just honestly, like, I remember his hype at Clemson. And I guess I kind of have this question for you. Where do you think he really? When did the fall off start? Was it freshman year? Was it right when he started playing college football or what?
I would say it's a development thing and a consistency thing because he had that 400, 300 yard game when Trevor Lawrence was out because of COVID versus Notre Dame exploded onto the scene. I think he's one of those guys that just hit his peak too early. I mean, you don't really see him get better. I mean, I think you saw his college peak at Oregon State, even the Oregon State guy. I mean, if he comes out in the draft last year, that's a seventh round draft pick. And like, that's DJ. Yeah. I mean, he can make every throw in practice. It's just it's not even the decision making. It's just the consistency. I mean, you see him in that Boston College game overthrowing guys in the end zone. You see him at Oregon State. He'll make the exact same play a game later, or two quarters later, he misses.
Yeah.
Exact same throw, exact same play, exact same defense. he'll miss the throw. It's straight up a consistency thing for him.
Yep. Straight he up plays like me in college football 25. I'm the same way. Picks, yeah. picks, like just overthrow. Like he just
overthrows. I don't know. No, 100%, 100p. Another loser I had. I mean, we already touched about Sunbelt Billy, so I'm not going to actually talk about Sunbelt Billy because I don't even think he's a loser. He's already lost. So he is not in our loser conversation because he is a dead man walking unless DJ Lagway turns out to be the Tim Tebow 2.0. Mm-hmm. But one of my biggest losers, Sean, and it's I can't believe I'm saying it's a loser because it's a guy who people I don't think want to admit it, but it's on the hot seat right now. And that's Brian Kelly at LSU. Mm-hmm. I think and it stinks because he could see the improvements he made. He is a loser, not in the fact that I think he is a bad coach. He's a loser the week one because LSU is starting to get fed up, whether fair or unfair. They're starting to get fed up. 0-3 in week one, 3 years in a row. You lose another close game that seems to be all too common in the Brian Kelly era where it's like, man, one or two things got to go differently. And you just see an undisciplined football team at LSU. It's just penalties. And that falls on the head coach. It really does. It doesn't make it. It doesn't help that you are already a meme and your face gets posted all around the internet, and your video of you slamming the table saying, "I have to figure this out. We have to figure this out" is used by Burnerverse accounts tweeting me when the gas station attendant has no Zin. So, all of that stuff doesn't help, but. Is it fair, Sean? I want to ask you the question. Is he on the hot seat?
Yes, I think 100%. we should have asked resident LSU fan Ryan Uris what his thoughts are on Brian Kelly.
He had boots on the ground in Vegas.
He did.
He had boots on the ground.
Got some videos of him sent to me where he just looked like, hopefully not us next week, but he just looked dejected. And But yeah, I mean, I think to go 0-3 week one as Brian Kelly and how hyped he was coming in. And honestly, I mean, I don't want to hate on LSU here, but, you know, they've been pretty mediocre since the Joe Burrow era. And even before that,
I don't think that's hateful. I think that's a very fair statement. I think.
I just know how LSU fans are. But
I think LSU fans would say that. I think LSU fans would say they somewhat wasted a Heisman caliber year with Jaden Daniels last year, similarly to a Caleb Williams situation where you just can't figure out the defense. And the defense looked to be figured out. And the one thing that really stuck out to me about Brian Kelly is that after the game, he says, you know, their quarterback outplayed our quarterback. And that's fair. Miller Moss played a little bit better than Garrett Neusmeyer. But Garrett Neusmeyer didn't play poorly at all. Garrett Neusmeyer is not the reason y'all lost that game. The reason you lost the game is because you were inconsistent and undisciplined across the board. And that's the coaches, too. That's not just a player problem, in my opinion. That is something that's coached and trained. So it's the old saying, you can be the ass as long as you're winning. In college football, you can be an ass. You can be the dictator of your own little country in whatever college town you are in.
Yeah.
You're in. But if you're losing, no one will listen. And then you're just the dick who's yelling. And you're just the dick who's yelling. And I think I'm afraid that's what Brian Kelly might become this year if he keeps losing. And at LSU, three losses is a lot.
It is. Especially with this 12-team college football playoff and – I mean, realistically, I think we'll see maybe three SEC teams in the college football playoff. But even then, like those spots are going to be hard to come by, which is kind of leading into my loser. And that is the SEC versus non-shitty opponents, for lack of a better terms.
Because, the SEC?
Yeah.
Explain.
Against the SEC against... non-shitty opponents, right?
That's
for you. Got Florida, you got LSU, you got Texas A&M that all lost. I know there's other ones too. I mean, you know, you could say yes, some of these teams won. Texas won against who? Colorado State.
I would say, yeah, no, that's it's fair. I just that is fair. I have to This is where I guess we can get to a I differ in a way. I think the SEC looked okay. I think Georgia beat the hell out of Clemson. So that's a top team versus a top team. And you have Vanderbilt beating Virginia Tech.
That is true.
I would say that the ACC is being overshadowed by a Miami team that looks like a top five team in the country. VTech lost.
Yeah.
Florida State looks like they're a JV team. Yeah. NC State is struggling. Yeah. And they're a top 25 team. They could get absolutely exposed in one of my games of the week next week. Mm-hmm. Like the ACC kind of looks iffy, in my opinion, more than the SEC. Yeah.
That's fair. I guess next week will be a bigger challenge. I think Texas playing Michigan. That will be an interesting game. I don't know. I think the biggest thing was that Big Ten versus SEC first matchup, really, I would say, in USC versus LSU.
Yeah.
And granted, those aren't the powerhouses of those conferences, but I mean, they're pretty comparable, I guess you could say, with LSU and USC, just on the same wavelength of where they're at in their conference. Not the bottom, but not the top. But I just thought it was not very SEC-like for A&M to lose to Notre Dame.
100%. No, and
I forgot about that last Georgia game.
That's my last big loser, Sean, is Texas A&M. But not really Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M fans may view themselves as a loser in their own eyes. Yeah. I think most people with objective viewpoints would have told you A&M to the playoff, maybe a stretch. Possibility, but maybe a stretch. I think the big loser in this is the A&M quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Connor Wagman or Max Wagman. I forget his name, but it's Wagman. And another highly rated guy, 5-star coming out of high school. And it's just, if that's the best chance of Texas A&M winning, if he gives them the best chance at Texas A&M winning, that is bleak. That is a bleak future. Because Texas A&M, they have the talent. Supposedly they have the talent. They got the money. They got the support, and they have the coach, in my opinion. Mike Elko did great things at Duke with far less resources and far less fan support. So, I mean,
yeah, and it's his first year, right?
Mm-hmm, at A&M it is.
Yeah.
He was looking thick, though. He needs a looser jacket. Did you see that? He was in one of those thin hoodies.
Yep.
I saw people on the internet saying, one of the quote tweets was, he wasn't this big at last year, was he? And people were like, no, not a shot. Like, people were like, that gumbo in Texas BBQ's got him eating good down there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Gotta stay off them ribs, Mike Elko.
I think for A&M, what's kind of interesting is, like, I feel like the last, almost four, since, like, COVID, I feel like A&M's had this number one recruit class for the most part every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 4 years it's time to start showing what that top recruiting 100%. Class is. 100%. And, you know, I'll give them game one, new coach, whatever. But if they flop for the next two seasons, I don't even know what you do at that point. Like,
I'll tell you what you do. If Mike Elko flops at Texas A&M, I'll say this. If Mike Elko flops, and that's like a complete, I would just say if Mike Elko does what Jimbo does, Texas A&M is not the program they think they are or anyone else thinks they are.
Yeah.
Because Texas A&M, it doesn't really have a history of, oh my God, if they find this, they're going to kill me. But doesn't have the history of winning that Texas A&M fans think they have.
That's true.
Sorry, you won your national championships before the sport was integrated. So please just take a deep breath. The only time you've been relevant is because of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
This and in my lifetime, house, literally. That's been the only time where it's been completely nationally relevant. Kellen Mond had a couple good games, good seasons, but Johnny Manziel was the one. But Sean, do we have any more losers?
No, I think we touched on all of them. I had another one, just DJU, which we already kind of
DJU. I mean, if there's anything that anyone takes away, like if I was talking to someone who had just woken from 6 months coma, huge college football fan, hey, what's happening? I just say Florida State. That's would be the first words that come out of my mouth. But
If someone woke up from a coma, that's the first thing you'd say.
Yeah, yes. Well, he has to be a college football fan. He has to be a college football fan. Yep. I had another loser, and I'm trying to get his name. And it's not like an actual loser. It's just my loser quote of the week. And it was the San Diego State running back. Did you see this? Marquez Cooper. I don't know. He just said he was a better running back than Ashton Jeanty. He was the best in the conference. Yeah, and you know what? Look, if you want to do that, that's fine. I want to differ. This is not a loser of the week because he actually had a really good game.
Loser comment.
Rushing. Loser talk of the week. If there's a loser talk of the week, that's loser talk. Or maybe it's winner talk. Maybe he's like a psycho like Michael Jordan. He just like has to like fake beefs to do well.
Yeah. I was gonna say loser tweet, but that guy pretending or saying that he would eat dog poop.
That guy. Also, he can't do anything on the internet until he eats dog poop. Not even watch a YouTube video. He can't even watch this show. If you're watching this show, you're not allowed to. So if you are the guy who's supposed to eat dog poop out of a cup, you are not allowed to watch Settle Down. Sean, am I allowed to say that? Yeah. He is banned from Settle Down. This is the first banned listener in Settle Down history.
Yeah. It is actually.
Yeah. So unless you eat the dog poop and then we will.
Then you can come back. You can come on the show.
You can eat the dog poop. Maybe not on Sean's show because he doesn't want to get in trouble, but you can eat the dog poop on our show, Zooch and Wild.
I don't think it'd be relevant in the hockey podcast world, but.
No. You would have a lot of Canucks fans going like, what the hell is this? And you just have to go like, Tallahassee, man. It's just like, imagine some like Canadians who listen to like your show. Just like, what the hell is this? It's like really long story.
Yeah.
Our school football team lost to another school. So
we had to eat dog poop and I deleted my tweet.
So those are our winners and losers of the previous week. Before we jump in to our games of the week and our meme matchup of the week, just want to give everyone a quick reminder to subscribe to the channel, follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok at Settle Down Media, follow Sean's Instagram, Good Old Hockey Podcast, to give him a thank you for filling in for Zooch today. Sean, anything else?
We also have our website up live. T-shirts available, merch available. If you use the code SETTLEDOWN20, all caps, SETTLEDOWN20, you'll get 20% off of your order. Zooch and Wild t-shirts on there. We did personalization for really everyone has their own t-shirt, I guess you could say, for their fandom. Zach and Diego got their – Diego got a Cal one.
Not my fandom. Sorry, no. I want to make that clear. Cal, that was a life that was forced upon me, okay? No one wants to be a Cal fan.
No, but you're still a Cal advocate.
Why do I watch Cal?
You know you are. You enjoy Cal football.
I do.
More than anyone else in this podcast, I'll say.
I know.
But I also did Boise State Zooch and Wild shirt too. So
yeah. No, the merch is really cool, everyone. I got the white Settle Down t-shirt with the light blue microphone. Really, really sick. So make sure you check that out and use the code. You get 20% off. What's the code again, Sean?
Settle down 20, all one word, all caps.
Settle down 20, all one word, all one caps.
You have till this weekend. Do it by Monday night.
You have till this weekend. That is right. So let's go to our games of the week. Let's look ahead to week two, Sean. There's a couple good games. Not maybe as the powerhouse of week one, but I feel like in years past there have been some week two duds, and I don't think – this is a dud. So I'm going to bring up the first game that I think is probably the national game of the week, right, Sean? And that is what you alluded to earlier, Michigan versus Texas. This is a crazy matchup. It was two playoff teams last year, the national champion of last year, top 10 matchup. This is going to be awesome. I think where this game really differs in has how these teams play. One has a quarterback who's a Heisman contender and a backup quarterback that could probably start at 90% of schools in the country right now. Yep. The other team, the team up north, for those who don't know what I'm alluding to right now, the team who wears the maize and blue, went with a 2QB system last week against Fresno and really struggled to move the football unless they were throwing the Cortland Loveland or Colson Loveland.
Colson Loveland, Idaho boy. This game is going to be, obviously, it's the talk of the town. I think game day is probably there. 10 a.m. game two on Saturday, which we will be up for in Eugene. getting ready to throw back some liquor and watch that game at 10 a.m. I guess 9 a.m. actually.
9 a.m. Oh yeah, Sean, welcome. I got to Pacific adjust. You're gonna have to adjust. It's a different start out here, West Coast college football fans. That's how I patented the iced coffee, because it was a little too early for beer. So you just get some coffee and a small little breakfast for you, and then halftime of this for first game is when you start the booze.
Crack that beer. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm excited for that game. I think, Arch Manning last week, to go back a little bit, that watching that drive was impressive for a dude whose first snap of college football. And granted, it was against Fresno, right?
Yeah. Fresno. State.
Yeah. But they're going to stick with Quinn Ewers. He's their solid 100%. Quarterback. And, you know, if they get ahead, which I don't know, like, what do you realistically think is going to happen in this game? If you have a prediction.
I think that like I said, the difference just comes down to quarterback play. I think the quarterback quarterback's the most important position in football. I think Michigan keeps it competitive right now, but I think Texas makes that cover late, if I'm being honest. I think they're a 7-point favorite right now.
Yeah.
I could see this game being a close 10-point Texas win. I think Michigan could keep it close. I just think at some point the explosivity of Texas is just going to expose Michigan. I think Michigan, the way they keep that game is they muddy it up. That defense is still very talented. I just don't think the offense has what it takes to expose the weaknesses that Texas has on defense. So I got Texas in this game, and I know Zuch had some notes on this too that he sent me, and he's echoing the same thoughts. He thinks the defense is keeping it close for a bit for Michigan, but I think Texas ends up taking it. But one of my first games of the week, Sean, not Texas or Michigan, a little more low key game, the Dukes Mayo Classic, Tennessee versus NC State.
Damn you! I believe another one.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Well, this is why it's great. Great minds think alike, and these games are going to be good for a reason. This is a ranked versus ranked matchup. I know. Nice. I was surprised when I saw that. For some reason, I thought NC State was just outside the rankings, but no, they're 24. And I think this is going to be the Nico I coming out party.
Yep.
For a national audience.
Yes. I think last week the sickos like us watched him. And I mean, not like it's just us though. Like, I'm sure a lot of college football fans noticed him, but I think national media attention, he is going to get a lot this year. I think Tennessee, you know, I don't follow them as closely as I do Boise State, but they're looking dangerous. I think with the combination that they have at running back in Simpson, their wide receivers are, you know, good again as well. And then Nico I being who he is. Nico, I want to try to say it. Nico, I'm alive. I can't. Nico, no, I'm just going to keep it
Nico
that.
Nico I.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. That one is at 4:30, so that'll be before we head out to.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Sean. I have that one at 12:30. Or 4:30 Eastern time for our Eastern Zone fans. Or is it 4:30?
No,
over the place?
5:30 Mountain time. Because I have it on the website here, and it's the first game's at 10 a.m.
Maybe I'm an idiot. I think I'm just an idiot. This is why people, you have to implore the strategy of just watching games all day. Because then you don't miss one. Then it's a surprise. Sure. Whichever one comes on, comes on. I really like Tennessee. Yeah. I think Pierce, the edge rusher, he's a projected first-round pick if he can play up to his potential. A 10-sack year last year for him, just getting better. So I think Tennessee, they are sneaky good. I picked them to sneak into the playoffs for a reason. I think Nico I lived up to his potential last week. Hopefully that wasn't just his top performance and he can continue to be better. Oh, he has to be good. And that's how Josh Heupel offenses are run. You saw when Hendon Hooker's there, you know, they're playing in Orange Bowls and they're and they're winning New Year's Six Bowls and they're almost in national championships. When Moonball Milton is in, you're playing for a Cheez-It Bowl. Not bad. Some teams would love to kill for the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah,
Tennessee fans don't. Tennessee wants to be a national power, and they think Josh Heupel can get them there. And I do too, a little bit. You know, I got a soft spot for Josh Heupel because he looks like me from King of the Hill.
He does. Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. One of my other games that I think will be kind of interesting to watch is Colorado at Nebraska.
Oh, great game.
I think it's a Colorado's getting a lot of hate. They always have. These past 2 years have been getting hate mainly because of Sanders and the Sanders family and just their, you know, their overall demeanor. But personally, I kind of like it. I think it's fun to watch. I think one of my roommates here, I think that the Sanders family is living in his head rent free. But I think Nebraska fans, I would say, are pretty hyped for this season, especially with their five-star quarterback.
I think they have every right to be happy. Yeah. They have a quarterback who, in my opinion, is like the first true quarterback they've probably had in 15 years, probably since the last time they were good with Bo Pelini. This Dylan Raiola guy, man, he is, you know, and they spent the bag to get him, to flip him from Georgia too. He can say all he wants about, oh, I'm coming back, you know, for the legacy. No, he got outbid. His number one quarterback in the country. Now the knock on Raiola is, what are his mentals like? You know, that's four different high schools in 4 years. Everyone's seen that stat who's followed him.
Yeah.
Flips from Georgia to Nebraska late. Personally, I think all of that doesn't matter because I think they got a great guy running the ship in Matt Rhule. And it could not be two different coaches in this matchup, Sean. You have Dion, who creates this hype for his program, and people want to hate him or not, he grabs your attention, which puts eyeballs, money into the program. Yep. Matt Rhule is the complete opposite. He is the nothing about this is me. Yeah. I'm going to tell it exactly like it is. He's the guy who has the quote that every old guy I watch college football with, yeah, the players are getting paid, uses, where it's a good QB cost $1 million in the portal. I can't tell you how many 50-year-olds at dive bars where I watch these games go, you know, it takes $1 million to play a good player. It's like, yes, I know. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Freaking quote card that you saw on Facebook 5 months after it was actually said.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a great game. Sean, who do you have in this game before I say what I think is going to happen?
I think Colorado is going to pull it out. I think they've been getting a lot of hate and people wanting them to lose, and why they're like the Jake Paul of the college football world right now. Mm-hmm. But I think they pulled out against Nebraska. I don't know that Nebraska is ready to be a less over 500 team, really. Like, I think they're going to
really.
Yeah, I just don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. I think this game will test. Will tell us though.
Who's ahead. I think Colorado's deficiencies, the penalties. The undisciplinedness is going to show versus a Nebraska team that is playing at home. And I think the wheels may come off for Colorado this game. Wheels almost came off for NDSU versus NDSU for them.
That is true.
And I think Matt Rhule is the perfect coach for Nebraska. I really think he is. I believe in Matt Rhule. I've never believed in Nebraska, not even with Scott Frost. I believe in Matt Rhule. I know what he can do. Saw it happen at Baylor. I got Nebraska in this game. Sean, the last game I kind of want to talk about before we talk about BSU Oregon, which is again a nationally televised game, not a homer pick. It's on Peacock, which is super, super
fun. That is weird. But well, hopefully they don't mess it up like ESPN.
Well, luckily for us, we won't have that problem. But,
yeah.
But I just want to quickly touch on this game, Sean, which was almost my meme matchup, but one of the teams was actually ranked, so I'm like, fuck, it might be a good game. And it's the Iowa rivalry, Iowa versus Iowa State. This game is just funny every year. It's going to get muddied. Yeah. And I bring this up because Zuch has something he wanted to say about this game, Sean. And he thinks that Iowa is going to hit 30 points. And I immediately reported him to the police for growing marijuana in his house because there is no way Iowa that's a joke, you weirdos who don't know sarcasm, but I don't think Iowa's hitting 30, Sean.
No.
I mean, and this game's a pretty tight spread, but I think Iowa pulls this one out. But then again, it's 50-50. I seriously don't know what these games go either way, the Iowa State games.
Any of those like rivalry games like that where it's interstate rivalry, there's no way of knowing, you know. Vegas doesn't know shit, frankly. And yeah, 30 points for Iowa.
Vegas doesn't know shit. We need to put that on a quote card when you or Cody has one of your bad days this fall. And it's just you with your hat like this doing the perch at Silly Perch or whatever bar you have someone's at that has been done across the nation. Yeah, Vegas don't know shit. Hopefully that's not trademark. Hopefully one of the listeners doesn't trademark it. But hey, if you do, go for it. It's a great quote. Yeah.
At least just give us like 10 bucks for offering that to you guys.
Give us 10 bucks. No,
but I think Iowa, I don't even want to give a prediction because it's too hard. But I will say that I do not think that they're going to hit 30 points. But we could be wrong. And Zuch could come at us and be like, see, I told you. But
well, I don't think it's going to happen. That's the great thing. But I don't believe in Cade McNamara. Simple as that. The last game, Sean and I want to touch on. This was the main game. This was when we first were going to talk about games of the week. We were so excited. We actually get to talk about Boise State versus Oregon. A top, what's probably going to be a top 7 team, at least top 10 team in the country, depending on where Oregon drops in the rankings, versus the what most people would say, or like half of the people would say. It's probably not most anymore. The Memphis train has gotten bigger. But what probably half of the pundits say is going to make the playoff in the G5 is Boise State. So we got Boise State, Oregon, and neither of these teams played to their full potential in week one. But both of these teams showed what they can do and the things that they are the best at. Yeah. And that's Oregon. That is athleticism on defense. And Dylan Gabriel putting up gaudy stats. That O-line looked very suspect in the finishing drives for Oregon, which has always been a Dan Lanning question mark. Can Dan Lanning win the big one? Can he win in clutch situations? That's always been their thing. Now, on the flip side, Boise State, they showed exactly what they can do on offense. That O-line is one of the most underrated in the country. I think there's going to be some guys drafted from that line that people don't know now, but are going to be NFL caliber players on that offensive line. And Ashton Gentry did his thing. And those receivers that they got in the transfer portal, Cam Campers specifically, they did their thing. And that offense looked like a top 20 offense. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this either, Sean. That defense looked like a junior college. It really did. I mean, minus the first quarter. Yeah. So minus the first quarter. The first quarter and the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, I will say they had those wrapped up. But the second and third quarter, Sean, that game was brutal. And
it was a hard watch. It was a lot of beer at that point. And it was just a lot of confusion too. I'm like, at one point we're losing the game and, you know, I didn't really think that we were going to lose the game. I was like, I think we'll come out, but we should not be in this position at all, especially if we're playing Oregon next week. Now, I will say, and this goes for Oregon too, it was week one and I'll give the benefit of the doubt, you know, if it happens once, whatever. But the same thing with Oregon. I mean, you know, they, with University of Idaho, they only beat them by what, 10 points, 24-14?
Yep, 10 points, so, and they were only up 7. And it was like a third down or fourth down that they had to convert that would have given Idaho the ball back with the chance to tie the game, which would have been crazy.
Yeah, so it's not like either team had a great first week, so it's tough to really judge anything here. But I will say before the season started, I was very pessimistic about this outcome, if that's the right word. I was like, we're going to go down there and watch them kick our ass. After week one, though, I have a little bit more hope for Boise State. And I think that I told Cody this earlier. I have a boom or a doom score for this game. For
yes.
Boom. For our boom, I'm going to give us 56 to 49. But our doom would be 14-42. I think we'll get a couple good offense if it is a doom, but a boom would be a great shootout. And, you know, even if we have a shootout with this team and we lose, but it's a close game, I'm not going to be upset.
It looks good for the playoffs. It'll look good for the playoffs. Now, Oregon, you, on the flip side, I'll talk about Oregon's position coming into this game. They cannot afford a loss. I know people want to be, oh, Boise State's better than people think. At the end of the day, people aren't going to see that. They're going to see an unranked G5 team you lost to and you were ranked third in the country to start the year. Oregon cannot afford a loss. They simply cannot do it. They have built, and it'll just keep questioning Dan Lanning and Dylan Gabriel. And I can't stress this enough. It was so interesting, the box score versus if you actually watch that Oregon game. Yeah. Dylan Gabriel, 390 yards passing, only translate into 24 points. And it is funny because I feel like both Twitter fan bases, it's like they're talking about each other without having watched the other.
Yeah.
Like Oregon is like, oh man, you should have seen Ugalele. Like he was fire because they have DJU's brother on Oregon, Mateo Ugalele, really good defensive end. It's like, oh yeah, he's going to kill him. We're going to kill you guys. It's like, you just see like what Ash and Genty just did. And then on the Boise side, it's like, oh, the defense can get fixed up. Like, we'll fix up our defense. It's like, hey, 1 week is a very short amount of time for someone who is picked against someone who's picked to win not only a preseason Heisman, but someone who torched your ass 2 years ago. You remember when Dylan Gabriel, quarterback at UCF, when UCF beat Boise State, and he beat him the same way that the Georgia Southern guy almost beat Boise, and that's hitting guys wide open with the bad secondary and scrambling on third down. And that's what should scare the hell out of Boise State fans. You give your boom and your doom score, Sean. Personally, I think it's going to fall somewhere in between. I think it'll be close for a little bit. I do think Boise State loses by multiple scores. I think it's this weird, like, we're not super pissed off and like demoralized because of the Washington game, but it's definitely not a, oh man, like we were right there. Like seasons still are. It's like there's going to be some more question marks in this game.
Yeah.
So that's
where I think also my head's at with this. What was I going to say? I think with Oregon. Oh, I remember. Okay. I am upset though that we're not going to be able to use, regardless of what happens, we're not going to be able to use the 0-3 meme anymore because that meme is so perfect. With the Oregon O
and the Boise State
B, the B like cut off in a perfect three. Like even if we win, if they're 0-4,
it literally is like,
how are you going to make
that? That meme, that picture is like a 2009. It's the equivalent of a 2009 your mama joke. Like it's just a your comeback, your mom. Like you can say anything. Oregon can say anything to Boise State, and a Boise State fan could just tweet that graphic.
0-3.
You know, maybe it doesn't win them the argument, but it is a right jab to the liver every time.
And it's nothing you can really come back from because they also don't have any national championships, so they can't flex that. And there's really, you know, I mean, I think even
they have the Heisman winner. That's it. They have the Heisman winner.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, I mean, I think even if we lose, we still, you can't do the 1-3 though. It doesn't fit. You know, the only way is that 0-4 and I'm really hoping that we do it. We'll be boots on the ground. We'll be getting some video content too as well. So
wait a minute, Sean.
What
is Maddox Madsen's number?
4. Oh,
boom.
Oh, boom.
Boom. We have just created the new meme. Yeah. That is not copyrighted. Everyone.
We cannot say anything on Twitter. Like we have to make that tonight or whatever. We can make that edit and then just wait and pray that we win because then we can drop that on Twitter.
Well,
and
be the first ones. You know, that's like a 2% chance, but I love it. Yes, the 0-4 with Maddox Madsen. That's the new meme. Hopefully, we'll be dropping. And if you've listened, the show's a listener. We thank you guys so much because you guys just got a sneak peek. That's the kind of riveting stuff you get when you listen. But Sean, it is my favorite time of the show. It is the end of the show. Not because this show's ending, because I love talking ball and appreciate you coming on, filling in for Zeus. But we have Sean, this is your very first meme matchup of the week. The very first meme matchup of the week. And Sean, do you have the same one that I have?
Yes. I think everyone, we've talked about it a lot, and that's mainly why. And this is Cal at Auburn.
Cal at Auburn. This
the
is.
Tweets. The Twitter, like just everything about it, it's has so awful, to but it's stop. Bad. It's bad.
It's really bad. Sean, I saw a Cal fan tweet a picture of a fat guy in the mirror looking at a skinny guy, and the skinny guy in the mirror was Alabama, and the fat guy was Auburn. saw immediately Auburn fans just calling Cal players putting socialist patches from Soviet Russia.
Did you see the one guy where he was like, I'm looking for a pizza place in Auburn. Is there a place I can get broccoli on my pizza?
Yep, there's like that. Also saw the tweet where the guy's like looking for a bar in Auburn, Alabama, needs to be playing CNN instead of the football games, preferably.
Yeah.
And the great part is, you know, in the SEC Twitterverse, some people are smart enough. I would say most people are smart enough to pick up on that's funny. That's someone making a joke. Yeah. Some people do not pick up on that, and they're going like, don't even think about coming to this state, pal. It's like, dude, relax. But no, it has to stop.
Yeah.
I've seen numerous AI generations. I've seen AI generations of eagles doing heinous things to Oski the Bear. it is just for that reason, Twitter is the meme matchup. And it's also it's going to be a pretty good game, I think. I think
these are two
evenly matched teams. I think Auburn has a slight edge. But also, it's Hugh Freeze versus Justin Wilcox. Those could not be more different. So you have Hugh Freeze, prostitutes, given the thumbs up in the hospital bed coaching for Liberty, versus Justin Wilcox, who most people probably even forgot was the coach of Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just Twitter alone makes this game the meme matchup. And did they play last year?
They did. I had boots on the ground. There. Yeah.
That's right.
It is. Even in Berkeley, it was just amazing seeing those two people interacting. I saw an old man at Auburn almost get into a fight with a Cal fan after an Auburn touchdown. This old guy, and it was literally like out of a stereotype book. It was old guy, larger, sunglasses with the thing attached around.
That's who I'm picturing. That's who I was picturing.
Weathered down hat. PFG Auburn shirt with a cane versus the Cal guy, glasses, jeans, and like, you know, the striped rugby shirt.
Yep.
Yep. Those two guys were yelling at each other. Not joking either. No. The Auburn fans. It was
Auburn. How old was the Auburn fan?
Auburn fan probably in his early 60s. Cal fan probably in his late 30s.
Okay.
Pretty large age discrepancy on the argument. Everyone around them was super uncomfortable. Cal and Auburn fans alike. But no, it's Zuch said it's going to be funny because it's the most liberal place on earth playing the most conservative place on earth.
Yeah.
Look, make up your own judgments. That's going to be a funny interaction of people down there at
the bars,
Jordan-Hare Stadium. Yeah.
Yep. The bars are going to be just, I part of me wish we could just fly down. I mean, I wouldn't want to miss Boise State, Oregon, but part of me does want to just fly down there and just witness that in Auburn. Obviously you got the Cal perspective, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to this week of football. I think, you know, we've got NFL coming back as well. So we'll have that mixed in as well as college football. I'm more excited for college football, but that's just me. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on. Glad to cover for Zuch. He's some deep work issues, which
some work issues came up last minute. Life happens, but luckily, in the settled down world, many of us, probably the two main sports is hockey and college football, thankfully.
Yeah.
So in the NFL, but we got hockey and football, I guess I'll just say generally.
Yeah, that's true.
So it is nice to have Sean. Thank you again for coming on. Appreciate you filling in. Everyone loves social media. We are going to be having some live pictures on our stories being posted from Eugene.
We should just go live one night and just on Instagram, like on the phone, like not on StreamYard, but like on the old school on the phone, just live stream it up.
We gotta be careful. There might need to be a 10-second delay on
true.
That.
Maybe we just
post some Instagram stories.
Yeah, call it good.
Because there is gonna be a keg, so who knows? But thank you guys for listening. Make sure to be checking this weekend for all of your settle down content in Eugene. Mm-hmm. And enjoy the weekend. Thanks for listening. Sean, anything else to say?
Nope. Peace out.
Peace out, guys. We'll see you next week.